Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, got Javon Edwards, got Jay King today. We got a light crew, but guys, I'll just say it, it's the best crew, okay? As long as the three of us, we can fill in with a Mo Dakhil here and a James Edwards a third here. They're not going to listen to this, so I can really say whatever I want. But we got the main core here. We're here to discuss all kinds of things. We got comeback week with Kyrie, with Clay, with Lance, all back, all thriving. So we'll discuss that. We've all got a team that we're done with, that we're just giving up on for the season. Not like, oh, the Kings. Like, we're picking real teams here. They're supposed to have expectations. And then we got a bunch of streaking teams, including the team we will start off with, the hottest team in basketball, assuming that that win streak does not end after we record this, because we're recording this on a Sunday morning, at least on the West Coast, early afternoon on the East Coast, and the Bulls and the Mavericks have not played yet, but the Bulls go into that game with a 9-game win streak. They're atop the Eastern Conference by 2.5 games over Brooklyn, I guess 2 games over Brooklyn going into this, because they're about to beat the Spurs as of this recording. And so, Jay, with the Bulls, with the streak, with everything that they've been able to do, I wouldn't say they've had the toughest schedule lately, because they're playing a bunch of teams that have disappointed, but they're beating everybody. DeMar DeRozan's playing like an MVP. The team has handled guys in and out of the lineup extremely well. And so I ask you, are you a believer?
Am I a believer in the Bulls?
Not a believer. A believer.
I am bullish.
B-U-L-L. Are you bullish on the Bulls?
I am bullish on them. Yeah.
What does that mean, though? You're bullish on them.
To a point.
See, yeah. This is you're couching it.
They are, like, they have handled, they've been doing this. They've won 9 straight. Alex Caruso's been out. Lonzo Ball was out for a while, just came back. They are handling, like you said, the absences and everything else. DeMar DeRozan has been incredible. He's hit clutch shots. They have figured out the hierarchy between him and Zach LaVine. They have figured out crunch time offense. Their offense during this stretch has been absolutely ridiculous. Something like 120 points per 100 possessions over this 9-game winning streak. So yeah, like, they've found something that works. They are committed to doing what works. And they're a team that you can tell has just built belief throughout the season. Even when guys are shorthanded, they're one of those teams that just always does what it's supposed to do. Does that mean I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference come playoff time? No. Like, they're at best, to me, third in the East come playoff time. Probably fourth. But that like that that doesn't take away from what they're doing right now. Right. I just think that when you get to the playoffs, like it's going to matter that they play some non-scorers, and it's going to matter that they're not super deep, and it's going to matter that Lonzo and Caruso aren't the most gifted backcourt offensively. Like all that stuff is going to matter come playoff time, and Vucevic's defensive limitations are going to matter more. All of it.
Yeah.
So
I definitely
so I'm
look
like
at
super
it.
High on them now, and I love watching them play, and they're watching them figure it out has been really, really fun.
Yeah. It like so Trey with the Bulls, I think when you get off to a start like this, expectations and standards change, right? But ultimately, like let's just say the Bulls finish as a top two or three seed in the East, and then they're out in the second round of the playoffs. I don't know how much expectations change for you or for anybody during the season as they have the success, but like the long view of it, what an incredible step forward that would be. And then anything better than that, like feels like a giant leap forward, right? Like this team was just supposed to like, all right, now they're a playoff team, but they're kind of looking like contenders most nights, at least in the regular season.
Oh yeah. No, they're overachieving. I don't think anybody, unless you're delirious, thought that the Bulls would be number one in the East. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it starts from, you know, how the GM put this team together. You know what I mean? Like overall, like these guys love playing basketball together. And I think it shows, you know what I mean? Like Io got his jersey retired and went in Champaign, Illinois with the IU.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan goes out there to support him. So when you got your leader doing small things like that. And again, I'm sure he picked that up from the Spurs of just like, you know, being a good teammate. I think that's a reflection of like how guys want to play for you. You know what I mean? And Io's confidence been up. The Bulls have two players that shooting 40% from outside. Vooch is in seven straight double-double. So they're hitting all the right strides, but we just want to make sure that it's not too early, which again, I don't think this is not a Nets. This is not a Milwaukee Bucks. This is not a Los Angeles Lakers. So it's not championship or bust for them, but more so it is a huge accomplishment. Like you said, if it's a second round exit, no one's going to really be like, oh, y'all failed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like playoffs was the first step. I think that's the starting point. And then maybe the expectations for the next season would be there. You know what I mean? Because of that window. And, you know, they can focus, they can cross that bridge when they get there. But for this moment, they're like, from top to bottom, one of the best teams. Yeah,
you know what I mean? For like, sure.
It's not even fair.
I love DeRozan showing up to that jersey retirement ceremony. The guy's going to be on MVP ballots.
Hold on. You carefully worded that.
Yep, he's going to be on MVP ballots.
The dude,
I didn't carefully
he's
word
the MVP
that.
Right
I worded
now.
It perfectly.
He's the MVP right now.
That is just not the truth. But he'll be on MVP ballots. And he drove, I think it's like a 90-minute to 2-hour drive to the University of Illinois.
In the winter.
To see a rookie get his jersey retirement ceremony. It's not like
a
some dude he's been
rookie.
Friends
yeah,
with
exactly.
for a decade, you know? It's not like some guy who's been
Kyle
his buddy
Lowry
for a,
getting his yeah, jersey retired, yeah.
It was just like some guy he met 6 months ago who's coming off the bench for the Bulls, who's been okay, but like DeMar DeRozan is a special, special dude.
I don't like that he'll be on MVP ballots. He deserves it. You're saying
he
this
would
like
be
it's
on
just
my
gonna
MVP
happen.
Ballot. He would be on my MVP ballot.
Where on it?
Fifth.
Fifth? You're out of your mind.
Fifth.
He's been better than Curry. Have you looked at like Curry has not been that good compared to like the other stars in the league in this conversation. Curry's still been great.
I think the blindness of the record has kind of gotten a lot of people's heads. You know what I'm saying?
He's in a crazy shooting slump over like 17 games. Like this is extended. Like he's been bad for like a month and a half.
You know who we haven't been talking about? I know we were talking about Curry and KD. We should be talking more about Giannis and Jokic.
Yeah, for sure.
It would be KD, Curry,
you
Giannis,
don't have DeRozan
Jokic.
Over any of those guys?
Maybe Jokic, because the Nuggets just aren't that good. But
the Nuggets would be historically bad without Jokic.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Whereas I think the Bulls would actually be okay without DeRozan. During this stretch when they won nine straight.
They last year? They were bad last year after they traded for
Vooch. But they changed everything. They changed a lot. Like Caruso, they got Lonzo. Vooch, he came in last season, but just had a couple months. So they changed a lot.
They were terrible with him last season after they made that trade. They were terrible.
It didn't work out at all. And I think Zach LaVine and Vucevic was not enough. I think adding DeRozan now gives them sturdiness. You know what I mean? Like a way how to win. You got a real closer. You know what I'm saying? Like no diss to Zach LaVine, but I feel like Zach LaVine is now more comfortable in his scoring role and he can just focus on that and even become a better defender than just, hey, lead us to the playoffs. Right. I think that was too much of a big shoe. I think he's a great Robin in this situation. And with DeMar doesn't care about if he's a guy or not. I think he's just, you know, he's a competitor and he wants to win. And he's given this team confidence, the young guys to the guys that have been here. Vooch already played with him. He built a good relationship with Zach. Him and Zach start working out early on.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes teams don't get that head start to build that chemistry. And they've built that foundation from day one. And then again, I'm going to keep putting emphasis on it. The Bulls are like a college team. That's why Billy Donovan is doing so well with them, because they're allowing themselves to be coachable. That was the pushback against the Thunder, because KD and them was like,
we know what we're
why
doing.
Why are we doing this? Like why are we doing this? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different team shape up, and that's why it's helping him. And congrats to Billy Donovan getting his 300th win.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Another team that is streaking right now, at least going into Sunday night's game, the Memphis Grizzlies, winners of 8 in a row. And guys, this Western Conference may mess around and see the Grizzlies in the conference finals. I'm all in on this Grizzlies team. They're my favorite team in basketball right now. Like,
they're
it
really fun.
They're so fun. Like I guess I'm a little worried about the Dylan Brooks ankle injury that he suffered on Saturday. And, you know, Ja's been a little banged up, I think, with like a thigh contusion. But ever since he hurt his knee, they've been the best defense in basketball. And they've been like, I think they've won like 21 of 25 or something like they're just flat out good. And they're not that far behind the Utah Jazz for the 3 seed right now. Like this team is putting themselves in the conversation. Like they could make a very deep run into the West.
Listen, yeah, go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead, Trey.
I was going to say, if Bane keeps playing how he's playing, I know he's talking about this second round chip of, you know, he should have went a little bit higher. So he's going to hold that against. And that's his fuel. He's hooping. You mentioned Brooks. With Brooks' absence, this is kind of helping Bane. Mm-hmm. But then also Josh balling. You got, you know, that team top to bottom. You know what I mean?
Tyus is balling. Melton is balling. Like everyone's
good. Yeah. Everybody has. And I don't want to call them the West Coast Bulls because they're a little bit more. I mean, I think both teams are exciting to watch, honestly, like they play hard, and whoever they're playing against, they're going to beat you on the offensive rebounds. They're going to get the loose balls. They're going to make threes. Some guys are going to get hot.
Yeah.
They just beat you up. There's a different style of grit and grind now. And I really hope that they can, you know, whoever gets them in the first round, if they can keep it up.
Yeah.
Oof, good luck.
Right, that would be Dallas, right? Like, I feel like Jay, if you're the
they would beat Dallas.
They would destroy Dallas. Yeah, yeah. And I feel like if you're the Lakers, like you, I don't know who you would want to play.
Dallas is streaking too.
Dallas is streaking. Yeah, they've won five straight going into this recording.
No, like, I'm not saying that the Mavs aren't great, but I don't think that's a good matchup for them.
I don't either.
I don't think they 4-0 them. I don't think it's five. I think it's just going to be like everybody's going to be like Luka. I think it's a
3-1 and then win in six.
I feel like the Grizzlies core, like they just showed up when Ja Morant got there and Dylan Brooks was young. And they showed up and nobody thought they were going to make the play-in game that year. And they just showed up and thought, you know, we can compete with anybody. Now people expect them to compete with anybody and they're like, you know what? We think we're a contender. Like we think we're championship level. And you can see that they have an extreme confidence.
Yeah.
Like just an extreme confidence in all those guys. Bane's development has been ridiculous. I think a lot of teams overlooked the different types of things he could do on top of being a shooter and being a rugged defender. And that's been huge for them. So they're really dynamic. I think that's a team like that should be heard from for a long, long time. I love that core. I love the competitive makeup of that core and the skill level of it. Like they're really freaking good.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I don't think they're on the level of a Golden State and a Phoenix, obviously. And I think the Jazz healthy should be able to beat them in a series and it look maybe more competitive than it did last year, last playoffs, right? Where the Grizzlies took that first game and everyone starts going, oh, here go the Jazz again. And then the Jazz kind of just like put them down relatively easily. So I think it would be more competitive than that. But I think they're going to be one of those like provocative, like team nobody wants to face in the playoffs. And I seriously, like, I could see some upsets happening big time. They're so like Ja is on another level, and he's going to make the All-Star game, right? Even though he's missed a bunch of time and it's going to be deserved, but like he's at an all NBA level right now.
Oh yeah.
Like forget the All-Star game. He should be all NBA even with the missed games at this point. Like he's just been so good and talk, you know, kind of how we talked about
that. Has he been the best point guard this season?
I still think it's been Steph.
Yeah. I still think it's been Steph, but I think it's a lot closer than people realize.
The fact that he's shooting 39% from three is like good luck.
if he keeps it at that level, God.
If that's real and not just a Julius Randle random blip, then man, like, what are you going to do with that guy? Really, what are you going to do?
There's nothing you could do. Because he, like, everything, every part of his game at that point is kind of bulletproof, right? Because he's struggled with, like, mid-range jumpers, but he also doesn't take them. Like 2% of his shots come from 16 to 23 feet. So he's not doing that. Like he's finishing above 70% around the rim. His game in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the key is just so good. Like that floater, you know, it's not the best in basketball, but that floater, that runner, like it's up there. And every bit, like his change of pace, his footwork, everything. Like he just looks so comfortable attacking. And he should not look this comfortable because it's not like it's a surprise to the defense, right? They know he's the offense. He's the guy fueling all that. And you can't do anything with him.
Not a damn thing you can do.
And this is the worst he's going to be for like a decade. Like, think about that. Like, you literally just have to hope he keeps getting hurt if you're the opponent.
He's scary.
Yeah, he's so good. And then the rest of that team is just, I love the, you know, I love the Steven Adams addition. I know Valanciunas did a lot for them, but Steven Adams has been so good as a leader for that team. And everyone around the organization just talks about like that presence he has to kind of keep things calm and keep things focused and everything. And they don't have a lot of veterans on that team. It's still just mostly these young guys. And they're just mature. They're way too mature for like their experience in the league. And they've been, I guess, trending that way for a while, but like I'm so impressed by the Grizzlies.
Every time you think like they're just like a fun, like they're not just a fun team. Like that team is a group that could contend.
Yeah.
You know, like seriously contend down the road. And maybe give teams a real scare this year too.
Yeah, I guess there's going to be a certain point where you have to pay everybody, but it feels like they could either move guys to go get another piece, right, to put next to Ja and to Jaren, or they could just keep the core together and just say, no, we're gonna build this way. Like they've just, that front office has done an incredible job. Taylor Jenkins has been brilliant. And everyone accepts their roles. Everyone plays way more mature than they should. If I throw the Sixers, the Raptors, and the Mavericks at you, these are all streaking teams right now who, going into this recording, have won at least five in a row. The Sixers, the Raptors, or the Mavs. Which team, Jay, which team do you believe in the most out of those three teams?
The Sixers, just because they have Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And like obviously the Mavericks have Luka, but I just feel like their supporting cast isn't at the same level as the Sixers. Like the Sixers at least have their defensive core, and I love what Seth Curry's doing. Mm-hmm. I just feel like their supporting cast is around Embiid is better than the supporting cast around Doncic. So
Trey,
that would be my choice.
Trey, between the Sixers, the Raptors, and the Mavs all streaking right now, who do you believe in the most?
I don't want to piggyback off Jay, so I'm going to go with the Raptors.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that. I love this Raptors team. Fred VanVleet
has
been having
ridiculous.
That conversation in the
ridiculous.
In the chat.
I have to apologize to Raptors fans. I said that they weren't going to be good this year, or they weren't going to be like, you know, in a playoff contention. Fred VanVleet's playing All-Star basketball.
Yeah, like he's not going to get the fan vote, so he's not going to be a starter, I don't think. But he's as deserving as anybody, right?
I think he should be a starter.
Who? Really?
What two guys in the backcourt would you put over him? And I think DeRozan is on the ballot as backcourt, but I don't see him as a guard. Like, to me, he should be a forward.
He should be, but he's going to be a two. He's going to be the starting two guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be him and James Harden.
Yeah, it's going to be him. But, I mean, VanVleet's been better than Harden. Right.
What about Trae Young? I think it's kind of loaded over there, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna be an interesting situation as far as that.
Individually, Trae has been fantastic, right?
And that's all you need to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's all you need to be as far as when it comes to the All-Star. But
oh, guys, you know, we have a massive deal right now. According to ESPN, breaking news.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
The Pistons are finalizing a deal. to acquire Bol Bol for Rodney Magruder in a second round pick. Massive deal.
Rodney Magruder, man.
Congratulations to Nuggets fans who no longer have to pretend they think Bol Bol could be good. That's now on you, Pistons fans.
Hey, Pistons fans is probably hyped about that. I don't know.
Yeah, they were hyped about Thon Maker too, weren't they?
I'm curious to see, honestly, a free Bol Bol. If he even get off the bench, or if they keep him. I don't know how this shit works, but
I guess these days you can just be acquiring someone to get rid of him. But
he's still an interesting talent.
Is he? I just feel like people care because his last name is Bol.
I don't think he's good.
Like he's an intriguing summer league talent to me.
He's the type of guy the Pistons should be taking a chance on, though.
Yes, that I agree. Yes, I agree with that. And I actually like the Magruder pickup for Denver just because they need bodies and they could use another competent wing and he can play a little bit.
Yeah. Once upon a time, at least.
Yeah, like he should be in that rotation and be fine. Like I think it's a good flyer for the Pistons to take on Bol Bol and a nice rotation guy for the Nuggets to add there. I'm all in on this Raptors team. I hope they make the play-in tournament. I hope they win the play-in tournament. They're not that far out of the sixth seed right now. And with Cleveland's injuries, maybe that's within reach. But yeah, I'm in on this Raptors team.
And Van Vliet is like really carrying that team.
He is, yeah.
Siakam's found himself again a little bit. But like Scottie Barnes, he's a rookie. He's really good, but he's a rookie. OG Anunoby is really good, but he has some limitations.
He's always hurt, like, too.
Kyle Lowry's gone. Sucks, yeah. The center rotation is completely overhauled. Not very good. The depth isn't great. They've been through a lot. Fred VanVleet just shows up every game and makes the right play over and over again and shoots the hell out of it from three-point arc.
Yeah.
And they're 19-17, two games over 500. And they shouldn't be, but they have Fred VanVleet, who's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been incredible. He definitely deserves to be an All-Star this year.
He's on the J. King All-Stars.
Oh,
He's been one of my favorites forever.
Next week, I want the full J. King All-Stars.
Oh, I might have to bring it out. There's some weird, weird choices.
I guarantee there are, but I want our full complement of podcasters for that one. I don't think you should just have
Fred
that for
VanVleet just me and Trey. Might be the captain.
All right. It's comeback week in the NBA. We finish off comeback week. First, we had Kyrie Irving making his season debut against the Indiana Pacers. We have Lance Stephenson coming back to the Indiana Pacers, and he had a 30-point game, including 20 straight points off the bench. And then he had a 14-assist game against the Jazz, who were without Rudy Gobert, in a win Saturday night. And now Sunday night, oh my God, can you guys believe that Klay Thompson performance in his first game back in 2.5 years? We're recording this before it happened, but I'll just assume it was great. And he cried. You know, he cried for being back. Who could have seen that happening?
That's going to be a special night, man. That place is going to go bonkers.
I saw where
Steve Kerr said it's going to be one of the most emotional nights of his coaching career.
I guess Klay has been
on a journey to get back to the game.
I guess people will have seen this by the time, or will have seen it by the time they listen to this. But I've been told, watch out for that introduction.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
so
it'll be a special intro
retroactively. How impressive was that introduction by the Warriors to bring Klay back?
I've never seen anything cooler.
Trey, Kyrie was, I think, spectacular in that it took him a little bit to get going in that debut this season against Indiana. But he helped close out that game. He was phenomenal. I guess moving forward, do you expect any ups and downs with Kyrie, or do you think he's just going to be fine?
I think it's going to be ups and downs with the Nets because of the inconsistency, you know, like that's the main thing. Like, how do they get a flow? Like right now they're in a dogfight with the San Antonio Spurs in overtime. Cam Thomas maybe have sealed the game just now off the shot. But like, you know, I think guys sometimes right now, the Nets' biggest problem is their focus. Like, they're not putting together four quarters. And with Kyrie, you know, he's a valuable player, but he's kind of a bonus. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to be somebody that you're going to be like, all right, well, we got he's our emergency break glass, because you're not going to be able to use him. And they only have so many away games, you know. So it's going to be an interesting thing that they need to figure out. But I think now that trades are starting to happen, they might have to go make a move to add and get some more help. You know what I mean? Like Kevin Durant struggled today, not playing his best game. But then James Harden, he's inconsistent. You know, some games you're like, oh, he's back.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not back. You know what I mean? And they can't win like that. Milwaukee looked like the best team in the East, you know, in that matchup. And they were boneless. They didn't have everybody. Yeah. So, you know, between Milwaukee and Chicago, I think the Nets need to figure it out. You know, they're playing guys that probably would never get minutes in the NBA right now.
They almost seem bored with it, too. Like,
yeah, that's what I was saying. They had to put together those four quarters because, again, they were just up 10, blew that lead, and now they're in a dogfight with the Spurs. Like, that's lack of focus. That's, you know, taking care of the ball and putting together and finishing it strong. They're just BSing out there.
Even the game Kyrie played, they gave up 24 points in the first quarter to Lance Stephenson. They were down 13 at halftime to a Pacers team.
Yeah, they're down 19 in the third
nobody
quarter.
Available, at least in the backcourt.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that defense has just been non-existent lately. And they've been weirdly pretty okay defensively this year, but lately it's just been gone. You watch them play, and they just seem like they're disinterested. And I think having Kyrie come back, like, it's going to benefit them. But it's also such a huge variable. Like, you have at home, you have no Kyrie, and you're playing, like, Cam Thomas, and you're playing – like all these other guys who don't even come close to replicating what Kyrie brings. And then you
Duke Jr. starting right now, bro.
That's crazy, right?
Like, and then you throw Kyrie in the mix, and it's like, oh, they've got him. But it's like, that is not an easy switch to flip from one game not having him to the next game. You got him. He had obviously missed training camp and everything else.
Isn't that like just the season now with guys in and out of the lineup?
I guess, but not to that extent where you know it's going to be like that. And you know he's going to miss every single home game for the rest of the season. That's just it's nothing anyone's ever dealt with before.
Right. Yeah, for sure. By the way, another quick all-star talk. DeJounte Murray's got to be an all-star in my mind. I don't care who the rest of the guards are in the West.
He's been playing well. I don't know about all-star.
I mean, he's like 18, 8 and 8 every night, two steals, shooting well. He's the reason the Spurs are watchable.
It's just tough to make it in the West.
Because Steph's a lock. Ja's a lock.
Chris Paul and Devin Booker have to be locks, right?
They're locks, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steph, Luka,
Dame's gonna get it. I feel like Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Donovan Mitchell,
Damian Lillard.
I do not want Dame to go.
I don't either.
He's been out. Well,
and I don't think he'll play. I don't think he deserves
to be in it, honestly.
But the coaches are the coaches really gonna do that? They start a revenge tour every time Dame doesn't get selected.
Okay,
Russ is gonna lose his mind too.
You want Murray in the All-Star game? Who does he make it over of that group? Steph, Luka, Ja, Luka, Booker, Paul, Donovan Mitchell.
Luka's out of shape ass as a forward.
Like that's I think seven guards I just listed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's, I mean, yeah. Donovan Mitchell. I don't care. Just put him in. You guys figure out the rest. I'll put DeJounte Murray and you guys figure out the rest. That's how DeJounte you do it, right?
First pick.
First pick, first ballot.
He is tough, though.
He's good. Yeah. All right.
He destroyed the Celtics both times they've played him.
The Lance Stephenson effect in Indianapolis. Someone asked me, they're like, why didn't he do this in Atlanta? I was like, well, Atlanta didn't really need him. They just needed a body.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But in Indianapolis, they have no point guards. Yeah. Like Malcolm Brogdon's out, TJ McConnell's out, and so they need a playmaker, and he can playmake.
And that's so the thing. Lance can do that if you give him the ball. then he can make plays happen. He had 14 assists against Utah, I think. Just making the right play every time, finding Devonta Sabonis over and over. And like, he can do that. He's just not quite good enough at that to where you want to give him the ball all the time. And then he can't really fill any other role at this stage. So that's what's tough about Lance. But him coming back after years away and doing this is cool, man. It's fun.
Yeah,
I love like random guys just popping up,
especially when he went
and showing
when
they can
he
still
went
play.
For especially 20 with straight, him, right?
Because he's actually had some really good games.
Yeah, well, I mean, he went for 20 straight in that game where, you know, Kyrie Irving makes his season debut, and when he hit that shot, at the end, he went for 30 overall, but he scored 20 straight, like 20 straight points
at the beginning. 20 in the first.
Yeah, and when he hit that last shot at the end of the first quarter to give him 20, like the way the bench was going off, like those dudes just, they already love him, right? Because there is just an energy about him. Like, I find him to be a jackass at times, but he's bringing an energy to that Pacers team, at least right now, where they've just been like super morose and you know, angry and trade this guy. They've wanted to like kind of find an exit strategy, a bunch of dudes on that team. And now like he comes in and it's like, this shit's fun again. And I don't know how long that lasts, but at least right now, like it's fun to watch a Pacers team that seems to actually enjoy being out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, Lance, man, he's entertainment. He's doing air guitar. You know, he's doing the no look passes. The fans are fired up. You know, it's just
after passes in the half court.
It's the perfect reunion because, again, they were, you know, we were just at the start of the season having talks of where Miles Turner and Sabonis were going to end up.
Yeah.
And I think they've kind of dialed back and, you know, they're going to try to just see where this goes. But having Lance makes them a little bit more watchable. You know what I mean? And he's allowed to be him because he has nobody to like make him sit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you said, that Hawk situation.
They just needed a body. Yeah. They just needed a body to make sure everyone could play. Like that was it.
It's also great that it's just back in Indiana doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like he was almost an all-star in Indiana once upon a time. And now he's back strumming the air guitar.
All-star. What do you mean he was almost? He wasn't almost an all-star. What are you talking
about?
He
was a borderline all-star one.
I don't know about that.
Look up his numbers. I remember Brad Stevens saying that he was
Hold on a second.
Look up his numbers.
His best season was 13-7-4, which is good. He shot 49% from the field. I don't know if that was almost an all-star.
What was he doing before the all-star break that year?
Though? Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me see what this. This is breaking news on the 2013-2014 pre-all-star. I mean, this is. His numbers pre-all 14-7-5. Like, it's.
Shitty. Yeah, maybe I was. But they were top seed in the East at that point, probably.
For sure.
I love the Lance love. I think you were Lance drunk. But nah, it ain't no way, boy. Ain't no way.
It was not almost an all-star.
I watched him strum the air guitar last night, and I just got intoxicated.
Went into this euphoric Lance situation.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say, because obviously we're recording this before Klay Thompson is actually back on the court, so we can't give you any analysis of that. Make sure you check out the NBA Daily Ding for your next morning analysis of that game and all games the previous night. I am worried that we're not going to get as much boat content from Klay now that he's back on the court. Cause my favorite internet content is Klay Thompson, IG live driving his boat. And we can't lose that. He needs to wear that dumb, like captain's hat or whatever he's got on all the time. Like, I think he should do every interview. I think he should come to the game every single time wearing that hat. Like, we can't lose that. I need Captain Klay back in, but it's good. It's going to be good to have him back.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As we wrap this thing up, guys, I wanted you to bring a team that you are done with for this season. We're about almost at the halfway point. I think we've seen enough from a lot of these teams, unless there's going to be a major trade or I guess maybe even a major injury for them or someone else. But Jay, is there a team that you are just flat out done with that should be performing higher than they are?
The Celtics.
Oh, okay.
The team I cover, the team I watch every single night.
Yeah.
They're not good. And they just have collapses all the freaking time. Like every fourth quarter, you know,
something bad's going to happen, right?
Like something atrocious is going to happen. It doesn't matter the level of competition. They were up 14 points against the Bulls and lost by 14 in the fourth quarter, all in the fourth quarter. They have lost leads to Greg Monroe and Jalen Noel. Like they got just pummeled by the Knicks after being up 25 the other night. They are just, it's gross. It's gross.
Yeah.
And they need to make some serious changes, I think, to the supporting cast. I think them and Jaylen Brown can thrive together. I think they've proved they can thrive together with the right supporting cast. But, man, it's been tough to watch the Celtics. And I think it's pretty clear that that team is going nowhere.
I think for me, I think I'm done with the Hawks.
So is Travis Schlenk.
Yeah, well, that's, oh my God, Travis Schlenk's comments on the radio this past week, he should not have said that stuff. You can't say that stuff publicly. I'm like, I don't know if I should have brought these dudes back. And maybe I'm going to have to trade, you know, make some trades before the deadline. Like, you can't say that, right? Publicly? And he's been doing this for a while. Like, that felt like a rookie GM move. And maybe he's just that fed up that he doesn't care. He's like, it's either going to light a fire or I'm just going to ship these dudes out anyway. But I'm kind of with him just in the sense of, like, offensively, they've been great. And Trae Young has been phenomenal. I like the way John Collins is playing. Like, I like a lot of things that are happening individually. But this team has zero interest in defending. And they seem bored most nights. Like, I was watching that loss to the Lakers the other night. I'm just like, what are you guys doing? Are you just out there to get your numbers? Like, this is not the team we saw in the second half of last season at all. And I don't know what it's going to take. It's not like you're not going to fire Nate to go get a new coach in, right? Like, I don't know what it's going to take for them to get the right mindset, but I hate the mindset that they have as a team.
Yeah, it's just too laissez-faire.
Yeah.
It's like they're just willing to get in a shootout every night.
Like, if they cared, like, I think I would be all like, they're 12th in the East.
They're behind the Magic in defense.
That's like, not good.
Sandwiched in between the Magic and the Kings. Right at 26th in defensive efficiency.
Jay's done with the Celtics. I think I'm done with the Hawks. Trey, who's the team you're done with?
Portland.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
That's a good
Portland,
one.
Yeah. Man, Portland, man. I understand.
Think Portland's done with Portland too.
I feel I understand that, like, you know, they've been dealing with COVID. They lost CJ, sure. Dame. They've had some up and downs, but like, I'm not crazy about them.
It's
like,
tough to watch.
It's tough to watch. You know what I mean? The only joy this season has been splash of Norm Powell and Simons, you know. Nurkic, he pisses me off every time I watch that team.
Tyler Hero, too.
I had high hopes for Nazir Little. I mean, that hasn't been like crazy. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I thought this was going to be his year. But like I said, they've had COVID. Coach didn't win COVID. The assistant coach didn't have COVID. It just hit a lot, right? So that team, and then probably like a team that's also like doing well, but like pissing me off is the Nets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't know where they are right now. Like they're good, but what does it mean? Like, you know what I mean? Because for veteran teams, regular season records don't even really matter. You know, like they're going to get there. You know, they're one day at a time. But like, when do you flip that switch?
And they remind me of some of the LeBron Cavs teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. They're winning games. They're still near the top of the conference. And you just watch them and you're like, I don't know if they can still flip that switch that they need.
Yeah. And as I said, they're goofing off. Like, not too much. I mean, to be fair, the NBA kind of screwed them on the scheduling, right?
Yeah.
Because this 12, no one likes to play at 12. So I know I was hard on them earlier in the episode, but I'm going to say that's a shitty game to play on a Sunday. Now you're heading to Portland, which is across the country. That's like a 6-hour flight from New York. Then you got to head to Chicago. That's a tough one. Like to make up. Yeah,
that's really tough. That's a horrible.
You know what
schedule.
I mean? Yeah. And you just can't, and you're coming off of overtime. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and understand that. But geez, man, like again, you know, I don't know how much longer they can ride Kevin Durant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause like, He's going to get what he's going to get. Today he had 26, you know what I mean? Only party it looked like he struggled on the eye test, but he shot 50%. But him and LeBron, guys like Steph, sometimes on the eye you'd be like, "Damn, they playing bad," and it's really a great stat line.
I've done that with LeBron a bunch of times this year where I'm just like, "I'm not
all the time.
I'm like, "Wait, he had 35." Like
right. And they had, that's why I had to look back at the thing. I'm like, "Damn, man, he's really struggled, but he just wasn't making threes."
Yeah.
He shot 20% from the three, but he shot 51% from the field. And it's like, damn, you just so caught in the game because you're used to those guys like making everything.
Yeah, especially when he misses like an in-rhythm three, right?
Yeah.
That you just, once he fires that up, you're like, okay, that's
cause,
down.
Because think about Steph's quote-unquote shooting slump. There's players that I love to have a slump.
He's still shooting like 39% from three.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to have a bad Steph night. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, we have to give them grace.
Yeah,
and, like,
he's just been bad by his standards, right? Like, that's I say, like, he hasn't been that good. I mean by his standards. Like,
yeah,
he's just been someone that, yeah, you expect more out of him, yeah, which maybe isn't fair. Yeah. Yeah, man, I think this Portland season just needs to pack up and go. Just give Simons a bunch of runs.
The trade is not going to happen. Yeah. The trade's not going to happen. Just pack it up.
Yeah.
If Dame makes the All-Star, I guess, cool, good for him. But
maybe even shut him down for the year. I don't know what's going on.
Like, they don't deserve nice games
right now.
It seems
like they're trending in that direction.
Yeah, it really does. It really does seem that way. All right, that's going to do it. Congratulations on making it through comeback week with Kyrie, with Lance, and now with Klay Thompson. Make sure you're checking out all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're rating on Spotify, rating on Apple Podcasts, doing all that stuff. And make sure you subscribe to The Athletic, where you get the best sports coverage on the internet. For Jay King, for Trevon Edwards, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.